The first reading is taken from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17, verses 5 to 10. This is what the Lord says: "Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. That person will be like a bush in the wastelands. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when the heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in the year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind, to reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve."
Gospel according to Luke, chapter 6, verses 17 to 26. "He went down with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples was there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, and from the coastal region around Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by impure spirits were cured, and the people all tried to touch him, because power was coming from him and healing them all. Looking at his disciples, he said, 'Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets."
Sometimes the Bible's message can be rather black and white, can't it? And our reading from Jeremiah is a little bit like that. In fact, it reminded me of Psalm 1, very similar passage about the person who trusts in God, who's going to be blessed and will prosper, but the person who trusts in human resources, they're going to wither and waste away and blow away like the chaff on the wind. And the black and white message is trust in the Lord rather than in mankind. Simples, as the adverts say. To be honest though, life, real life, is a bit more complicated, isn't it? Real life is more shades of grey, isn't it? There are lots of other factors to consider. The choice is not normally so clear, is it, between God's way and the world's way? Sometimes we have to ask, which is God's way here? Which is the way of the world? But there's actually nothing wrong with that principle, is there? There's nothing wrong with the message, trust in God rather than in the world. Actually, both Jeremiah and Psalm 1 both end by saying, God knows your heart too. Jeremiah, for instance, speaks for God at the end. He says, I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward a man according to his conduct, according to what his deeds deserve. In other words, Jeremiah is saying, God will find out what's really in your heart. There's no point trying to argue the case with God, because you can't put one past him. You can't deceive him or whatever. Or sometimes we think, well, does God really understand my heart, my thinking, my desires? Yes, he does. Jeremiah and Psalm 1 both affirm that. God knows what's in our hearts. And then there's our reading from Luke, isn't there, that was read just now, that we often call the Sermon on the Plain. Because it's quite similar to the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. But Luke tells us the teaching was delivered on a level place, whereas Matthew tells us Jesus was up on a mountainside. Matthew actually gives us much more teaching, 3 whole chapters worth. Luke only gives us a little bit, half a chapter or less in total. And alongside the blessings, the beatitudes that Matthew makes a big thing of, Luke also includes the negative side, the woes and the cursings. In Matthew, those are separately in chapter 23, quite a bit later. Actually, I don't think it matters much, because I think Jesus probably taught these things many times over, and the disciples probably took notes, didn't they, and wrote them down and chatted to each other. And the key thing, the important thing, is to listen to what Jesus was teaching, to listen to what he's saying about the kingdom of God, to absorb it into your life, and then put it into practice from day to day. And the central teaching, the heart of it, is that there are 2 kingdoms. 2 kingdoms to choose between. There's the kingdom of this world, and there's the kingdom of God. Which way are you going to jump? What will you choose? Which way will you go? Footballer Emiliano Sala was buried yesterday in Argentina. And you know, I'm sure, he was transferring football clubs from Nantes to Cardiff. And his plane went down in the sea near the Channel Islands, just as he was transferring from one football club to another. And they've actually found an audio message allegedly sent from the plane by Sala to his friends on WhatsApp. Hello, my brothers. How are you? Boy, I'm tired. I was here in Nantes taking care of things. It never stops. Anyway, guys, I'm up in this plane that feels like it's falling to pieces, and I'm going to Cardiff. It's crazy. We start tomorrow. Training in the afternoon, guys, in my new team. Let's see what happens. So how's it going with you guys? All good? If in an hour and a half you have no news from me, I don't know if they're going to send someone to look for me because they cannot find me, but you will know. Man, I'm scared. How poignant, isn't it? What a tragedy that was when the plane went down. And now, following his death, Nantes Football Club are demanding the transfer fee from Cardiff. Sala was between clubs, and it's not entirely clear whether he'd actually transferred or not. How about you? Have you made the transfer? Which kingdom are you in? Is it even clear? Why not make that choice? Make that transfer. Make it clear today. I'm going to pray a prayer in a moment, and you can pray it with me, alongside me, under your breath, if you want to, if you wish. There are some other instances in the Bible where we're encouraged to make that choice. In his letter to the Colossians, Paul explains it clearly. He says, he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. That's Colossians 1, verse 13. Paul's saying there are two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of darkness, and he's transferred us into the kingdom of Jesus, the Son he loves. There's another one in the Old Testament, not Gideon this time, but Joshua, the Old Testament leader, Joshua. At the end of his life, he issues a challenge to the people. He says this, "Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Joshua 24. In other words, he's saying, look, there's a choice here. There are two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of the gods of this world and the way the world lives. Or there's the kingdom of the Lord. Who will you serve? Which team will you sign up for? Here we are on a Sunday morning, worshipping God in church, worshipping Jesus Christ, his only Son. But there are plenty of people who are not here. People who've chosen to spend Sunday morning doing something different. Perhaps staying in bed, or perhaps gardening, or running, or cycling, or horse riding, or whatever it may be. We have to make our choice, don't we? Which kingdom do we want to be in? Who will we serve? Which team will you sign up for? I believe that choice is the most important choice that we will ever make. It's the main purpose, in fact, of our life here on earth. Will we accept God's love and grace and forgiveness? Or will we turn away and say no thank you? Jesus says that the way is narrow. Only a few will accept and turn to God. There are so many distractions and temptations around us, aren't there? Oh, surely, Vicar, there's another way, isn't there? And we struggle and wriggle, don't we, and try to get out of it. Do I have to do it Jesus' way? Well, frankly, why would you not? What's the problem? Oh, well, Vicar, I've never done what people tell me to do, Vicar. I've heard that quite often. Many people are by nature defiant, aren't they? Rebellious in character, unwilling to give in to God. I think perhaps the reaction that we learn with people now becomes our instinctive response to God. And I think that's a great shame, because we should treat God quite differently, quite separately from the way that we treat people. We each have to make our own choice. So what about you? Jesus often asked that question. He asked his disciples. He asked those who were listening to him on the plain or even up on the mountainside. Those he healed, he asked them to make that choice. Even Jewish leaders and Romans like Pilate, he challenged them to make their choice whether to accept the lordship of God in Jesus Christ or perhaps the lordship of Caesar and the kingdoms of this world. I'm going to pray a prayer now, and if you want to pray it along with me, just to underline your choice, then feel free to do that. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, I am sorry for the things that I've done wrong in my life. Perhaps there are some things that come to mind. Just bring them before the Lord. Please forgive me. I now turn from everything which I know is wrong. Thank you that you died on the cross for me so that I could be forgiven and set free. Thank you that you offer me forgiveness and the gift of your Holy Spirit. I now receive that gift. Please come into my life by your Holy Spirit to be with me forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Can I just say that if you prayed that prayer, then one way to just underline it is to consider joining our confirmation group this afternoon, actually in Aldham Church, at about 5 o'clock after the memorial service that we're having there. We're going to just have a little meeting in the tower room in Aldham Church to find out more. And Wendy's going to be explaining what confirmation means, and perhaps even just reaffirming your baptismal vows if you've already been confirmed. So explaining the meaning of it and some of the dates that are available to us. But you need to make that choice. We all need to make that choice at some point. Join the kingdom of God today. Amen.